Hey y'all, this week's episode is two-parters with Chicago Black Fires. Part one starts now. What's up, world?
Good.
Chilling. It's actually sunny and warm up here, so get excited.
What is warm? Define warm, like 2 degrees?
Not in the 30s.
Look at you growing up, evolution.
I know.
Anyway, who am I? I am Sky from Southwest Atlanta. I'm born and blessed with the Swats Fresh. Now I'm in the decor of the beach shores with the Southern California contour in the Wild Wild West. And I'm with who?
What's up, world? It's your girl, Silves, VA all day, two up, two down, caffeinated, melanated, chilling in the Northwest.
Wow. Look at that.
Yeah,
you know. You're ready for a shea butter double dutch in the near future.
Am I? Okay.
Yes, you do. Anyway, who are we? We are Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two Black women's perspectives on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin.
Light your edges
and deepen your love for all things Black women.
So what are we doing today?
We got guests.
Who are these guests?
We might not after that.
Why you gotta do that? Why you gotta be like that? Why you gotta do all that? Who are these guests? Please tell the people.
Okay. Well, we've got another Black supporter group on here with us today, members of Chicago's Black Fires, a Black supporter group for the, is it all Chicago teams, including the Chicago Red Stars, relevant for our audience, and Chicago Red Stars of the NWSL. And so we have with us Phil and Jake.
Good morning. What's up?
Afternoon. You know what? That's how bad of a shift I had last night.
I mean, it's morning for me, so technically you're not wrong. If you wanna lean into it,
it's morning somewhere.
It's morning somewhere.
There you go.
Yeah. But okay, so they gonna ride with us through the show. So what we gonna do? So we gonna go through some. Like all the episodes, we're gonna go through brown sugar with soccer. Yes. And we're gonna do the superlatives also for the Black Fires, get their perspective, what made them fall in love with the game, you know, get into the beautiful moments of Chicago football history.
And there's some good ones, that's for sure. Next we'll do SBFC Pimp My Squad Edition, where we explore how Black supporter groups can shape and empower their fan bases and change their city from a Black cultural perspective.
And then we're gonna get into some SBFC Get Your Fits Right, where we're gonna look at the combination of Black culture as it intersects with soccer in the Chicago area in particular, on and off the pitch.
And then we're gonna do Shea Butter Freestyle, exploring more about Black Fires initiatives on and off the pitch. And we're gonna have some fun and some tapes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then we're gonna do the Hits and Riffs. You can write, even rant, whatever, shout outs, all that for the week. So let's get into it.
Okay.
All right, so what are we gonna do? So y'all know how it go. As we start off this brown sugar but soccer. So, like the brown sugar, the movie with Sanaa Lathan and Taye Diggs, Drake Ellis, Sydney Shaw. What made y'all fall in love with not hip hop, but with soccer?
Do you want to go first, Phil?
I always go first when we do these. You go first.
That's wrong. All right, I'll go anyway. So my grandfather's German, I mean, it's kind of hard not to have soccer around your life with that in your life. So it kind of grew slowly as I like started to age more. Like, I think everyone in America grew up with like football, like American football. And I just kind of aged out of that with like just more exposure with soccer, like the World Cup, like Euros, like AFCON, like. I think it really peaked once I got involved in like SG stuff. I would say that's like the highest point of like when I first got fire season tickets.
Mm. All right.
Bill?
For me, it was really just a by chance situation. My neighbor couldn't go to a Chicago Fire game, so he gave the tickets to my dad. And so that's when I went to my first match. It was when they first opened up what was then Toyota Park. Mm. And from that point on, it's just been, once I went to that game, it got its hooks into me, and it's been quite the journey since. I mean, I didn't think I would be been a part of creating a supporters group. I didn't think I'd do this much, but yeah. Here we are.
That's a great lead into sort of my next question. Can you all give the people a bit of a rundown? What is Black soccer culture like in the city of Chicago? Or culture in general, even if you want to go there. What is soccer culture in that city?
It's still kind of growing to me. Yeah. Oh, you go ahead, Phil.
Well, no, you were right. It's still kind of growing. The one thing I always say is Chicago is a soccer city, but it is not a Chicago Fire city. It's not a Chicago Red Star city yet. It's a soccer city. I guess I'm saying that in this idea of you have people who love football, who love soccer. It's just there hasn't been a connection to the local teams as much as it should have been. And over the past decade, it's been a struggle to try to improve that, but it's slowly starting to get better now in the past couple of years.
So saying that, like, when you say they're fans of soccer, but not necessarily the local teams, they're rooting for what? Like European leagues, that kind of thing? Like they understand the game and just haven't made that connection yet?
Yeah.
It's like European leagues. Like, you'll be pressed to not find any soccer bar in Chicago that's not full and at like 8 a.m., 10 a.m. Like, everyone loves the national teams or like whatever national teams that they identify with. Like, you're going to run into a Manchester United fan or a Liverpool fan or something like that, but those people are not really going to Fire games and not really going to Red Stars games. So,
okay. All right.
I was gonna say, why do you think that is?
Because I mean the teams haven't really reached out to anyone. I think like the Flyers.
That too.
Yeah, I think my part of this, and I would be curious to see Phil's answer. Like, my part is the Fire that you're seeing now are not the Fire that are from the past. I think the Fire that are from the past kind of rested on their laurels and didn't really kind of reach out to groups.
Okay.
And now you're seeing that reel back this decade because nobody's really interested outside of the old heads that they were kind of making sure they were happy instead of anyone else. But I think that's going to change super big this year, at least for Fire.
Okay. All right, telling some stuff here. Good stuff. Like, it's it's good to know when things work, when things don't as well.
Right.
And so I guess this is a decent segue into that. What got you into supporter culture in Chicago around the Fire and the Red Stars? And then what went into creating a Black supporters group?
Right. How did we get to the Black Fire?
Yeah.
So I think what got me into supporters culture was just at the time, the atmosphere when I went to games, because I was with you had Section 8 and then you had Sector Latino, both had their different supporter zones. I ended up going with Sector Latino. Jake was with Section 8 for a bit. So. I just like the vibes. I like the passion. It was enthralling just experiencing what I did there. And so it was easy for me to be attracted to that. in terms of Red Stars, it was just going to games. Like, I watched them, I casually watched them, but it was the process of, all right, I do it casually. Now I want to get more involved. You know, I don't want to just say, oh, yeah, I know. I want to actually be about the business of showing support for the women's side. So for me, it was just, it was no brainer to try to start going to games. Didn't get season tickets because money was funny. I was a broke college student back then. I'm still a broke ass adult now. So
hey.
I'm barely eking out season tickets for one team. But yeah, that's how it was. As for how me and Jake got started with Black Fires, it was an interesting meeting at one of the Fires Section 8's AGM, annual general meeting. But I'm going to let him tell that story.
I always get dumped this part, bro.
because you do it so beautifully.
Let's go.
So I was running for a board position with Section 8. I think what Phil's kind of leaving out, because for some reason we've done like a polar shift. Normally he's the one that's violent and I'm the one that's not, but I'm going to choose violence on this one. Section 8 and like the supporter scene in Chicago was like negative Black people. Like I went through 1 year of being a fan, and I think the only Black, I saw three Black people, and not all in the same place.
Were they so on the pitch?
this is off the pitch. But so I was running for board. I was doing like my whole spiel and my acceptance speech. Out of the corner of my eye, I see Phil. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, all right, I think I've seen him around. So I say, like, in the meeting, like, we need to update, like, up our Black involvement. And like, this man comes out of nowhere and daps me up in the middle of my damn speech. Like, okay. And just like, we kind of talked after that. And really, I mean, I think we became inseparable after that. Like, I love this man. So it all started from there.
Like Jake conveniently leaves out the specific line that got everyone's attention. And I think that's funny. He said, because if I'm quoting it correctly, you were tired of it looking like a white frat boy party.
Ooh.
Every weekend.
All right. Let's go. This is the type of truth we like to hear. This is a really awesome story about like, but this is why it needs to exist. Continue, sorry.
No, that was the line. And then I think it was literally the same night that I met them, I ended up going over to his place. And so, yeah, it's like you said, we've been inseparable since. So, you know, I got mad love for him. He's like the brother I was never given. And I will always be grateful for Jake. Soccer life in general, he's been the friend that everyone should want in their lives, and that's just being 100%.
Are we allowed to cry on this podcast?
I'm like, Black men, please, it's so beautiful. Stop.
Yeah, you can cry. Yeah.
Okay, I'm about to. Okay, so I'm like, man, I can't, it's hard to follow that moment up. But that's a really, I think it's a really poignant sort of like anecdotal.
Are you
like,
this right is now? How
I am not. I swallowed some coffee now, so the tears went with it.
Okay, I was worried about that.
I just snorted. Like, what?
So, I will ask this, I guess, since I think you all did such a good job of explaining why you exist and the need for it is very evident, I think, continually so. What has it meant, and you can elaborate on this, to be a part of this group, particularly this season regarding, you know, however much you want to get into going on with the team you support in the Chicago Red Stars?
For me, it's crazy to see how much impact this has had of like before it was just me and Phil kind of like bothering people, like we need to care about Black people and stuff. And now we have what, like, it's not like massive numbers, but it doesn't really matter. Like, we have way more involvement. Like, we have way more members. We have way more visibility. Like, we're doing shit out here. And it's crazy to see that. And a little idea me and Phil had is like to this point now. So that's what it is for me.
Phil?
I mean, I don't know what I'd say differently from him in that regard. I mean, our growth has been unreal, and it's just so weird. You know, I think one of our biggest moments, I think, was the playoff game last year, and just seeing everyone come together in Black Fires and just have a good time. We did kind of make a video mocking Gotham FC, no regrets, with the dancing. But I would argue we were fabulous in doing that.
It's all fun. I think Wilson could use a little more
yes,
rivalry and trash talk and all that fun stuff. You know, it's still healthy. It's a sport. They're professional athletes. It's all good. We like that.
Yes.
We like that back and forth between y'all and Gotham this year. That's been fun.
Yeah, we tried to keep that up with what's their name? Tulip Closet, something like that.
Oh wow. Okay.
DC.
Something like that.
I forget their name, whatever.
Tulip, yeah, Closet. some group name that.
It escaped me.
Tulip Closet. Hard to put a finger on it.
Oh hey, man. Wait, man. Wow. We out there, poom, 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 pew, pew, pew. Oh, we out here. Okay. All right.
So we are Switzerland in this conversation.
Yo.
All right, go for it, Sky.
So what is it like? So as being a part of Black Fires, because you are a Black supporters group, what was it like connecting with players and leadership?
Leadership. That's a... Oh, I'm sorry. Did you finish? I'm so sorry.
No, I'm done. No, go ahead. Go on in.
Leadership, I would say it's been a tale of two halves almost. Because when we started out, you know, you get your generic, we're allies, you know, yeah, we support you. And you know, they say that, but then they didn't back it up. And so that was always an issue when things got started. But as time has gone on, in terms of the front office, in terms of that interaction, things have gotten a bit better, I would say. And they're making a clear effort, you know, more now than any time before, you know, to make sure that they reach out and market the game to the African American community in Chicago. And, you know, I'll give them that credit. They're actually trying to be about their business for once. And I can appreciate that. I'll leave the player experience to Jake because he has some pretty cool stories.
Yeah. So we, like Phil said, like, and this kind of goes into the leadership aspect, is like, I don't think we were really taken seriously at first. Like, one of the things that was said to us is like, we don't have enough members. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's like not really our fault. Y'all haven't been marketing to Black people since you started. But player interaction went a lot easier. Like, we put together a panel, 2020 now. And they were super receptive to that. Like, we have Andre Reynolds on the team, who we keep up with super regularly. Michael Azira, who is not on the team anymore, but he still chats me up. Like, I went to a New Mexico United game and he came over after and we talked. So, like, and the thing that we pinned on our Twitter of like what we sent to the club to kind of like tell them what to do, basically, we actually put together with CJ Sapong, Andre Reynolds. Who else was in that meeting, Phil? Someone escaping my mind who was on there. Oh, no, it wasn't a player, but it was Jamie Chin, I think. But they've been like so receptive, and we kind of took a back seat recently just because we're all super busy and pandemic stuff, but
we're tired
for sure, but I think the receptiveness with the players is going to keep going, hopefully, and we're going to start reaching out to them and just letting them know that we're behind them.
All right. Sorry, I lost my place. There we go. All right. Do you have a favorite SG moment, like, or a favorite player that you've hung out with?
For both.
Yeah.
Either from either Chicago Fires or Red Stars, or both, actually.
I mean, I've seen some pictures with a player that I would be pretty hyped to know, but I'll let you all go with it.
I think the greatest moment was the, the event in that Black History Month event. Mm. That was the creme de la creme because we had so many, you think about, how much interaction you have with Black soccer players in general, and just to have the amount of talent and experience on that panel. It was amazing. It was just an amazing experience. It's one that's gonna always be up there, if not at the top of the list for me personally speaking, in terms of moments for us, because I feel like that was the moment we were really like, we arrived and we weren't just, one of those token organizations that are just there to be there. No, we were serious about our business. And, that was representative of what we were trying to be about.
Yeah, I think mine, just to be different, because mine would also be the Black History Month event. The Juneteenth event that we did for a Red Stars game, I think, was also like a damn, like, we're really doing this. Like, the amount of people we had at our tailgate, like, the music we were playing was like music that you don't really hear at Chicago tailgates often. And just people were just being super uplifting to us, like, asking where we wanted our flag and stuff, which it was just like, I think the panel put us on the map, and the Juneteenth event like made us realize how legitimate this thing is. Like, we weren't just like a one-off thing. So, that would be my moment.
Those are two fire events, and certainly, really cool ones we got to hear about too. I love your music you don't normally hear at a Chicago event, right? Soccer event. We might get into some of those things in a little bit. We can expand on those. But yeah, all right. So, gonna skip ahead a little bit. The Pimp Our Squad section. We might circle back on a few things as we talk about ways to increase membership and get exposure for you all, things of that nature. But today, we're about to flip some things on their head, and we're looking at pimping your squad. We're going to focus particularly on the Red Stars. Yes. And this is through your lens as supporters. This might be a loaded question. What would you like to see from your front office and from some of the staff regarding the team in terms of supporter group culture? Like, what would you all need from a team, or what would you like to see just structurally in place? You don't have to name names or things like that. Yeah. To make that relationship easier or better.
Accountability.
Okay.
Actual leadership.
Actual seriousness about what you're preaching, maybe.
Mm.
People who are actually about protecting players and fans alike.
People that don't use their power to make others silent, maybe.
Mm. Okay.
Those who try to play the ignorance card when they know damn well what they did.
Mm. Mm. Okay.
The list can go on.
You're right. I got a lot to say this week, especially this week.
And you know what's the worst part is, like, it's not everyone on the team. You know what I mean? Like, we've had good relations with, like, the director of, what is that, PR, like, social media, Lindsay. Obviously, mm-hmm. we, like, have Connor, who we talk to. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's volunteers that we're cool with. It's just the one person.
It's literally running the just whole show. Him.
The one person that's running the whole show is, like, making everyone else's job hard. And, like, we need this dude to move on out. Like I said, like we said, just come outside.
We outside. We outside.
Just want to chat. We
just want to have a nice talk.
We like, gotta, yo, we gotta get a hashtag going, this guy. We gotta think of something.
We gotta get it. Yeah, I gotta think about it. I'm gonna get y'all a hashtag. We gotta get a hashtag.
Gotta get y'all a hashtag. That seems to be a good start.
Yeah, that's what we got.
Some signage from the tulip closet people. They might be able to help y'all with some signage.
Right. Hey, the tulip closet got right. I can't believe.
But room closet.
Oh man.
But, okay. So you got a good point in terms of you need the leadership. You just need a certain individual to just do better, be better. Be better as in lead, bounce. With that said, how is it important? What do y'all think they could do to help y'all not only connect and get more people in the community, more Black people, more diverse peoples involved with the team, but how do you think as a supporter group, y'all could help get this team connected with the Chicago? Because you, as y'all said, you got soccer fans who aren't down for the cause for the Red Stars and the Chicago Fires. What would need to be done from y'all perspective that y'all think y'all could help as a supporter group slash, or what does the team need to do, both teams need to do, just to be more Chicago-like-esque, if that makes sense?
I think the first part of that question, I think the current Red Star situation kind of complicates that, because I wouldn't really want someone whose first foray into soccer being this shit, basically. But if we're thinking in a world where this is not happening, I think we're on a what?
Yeah, let's think of it from a ignore that man. Let's think of it in an ideal situation.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. I think we were on the path to that. It's like we were having a bunch of events. They were asking us for good, like not in the annoying way. I think everyone here can kind of understand what the annoying way of asking what to do would be. It's kind of just like working together. And I think also what was helpful is Local 134's members were also super like, anything you guys need, let us know. So I think in that front, we were really on a good path of like increasing that, of like not just being there, but also being involved, like creating an atmosphere where if a Black fan's first event was this, they wouldn't feel like how me and Phil and Yvonne and others have felt, of like just being the only person there and not feeling listened to. So that would be my answer to the first part of that.
Can you repeat that? I had a little computer trouble.
All right. So what I had asked was, how do you think the supporter group, particularly Black Fires, could help connect the team back to the community and get this to be, get the Red Stars and the Fires to get to a point of being of Chicago? Because as y'all both noted, people are soccer fans, but they're not necessarily supporting these two teams, right? What do you think could be done from y'all's perspective to get more Black people involved, but then also get, you know, bring that Chicago culture vibe to getting people to go, hell yeah, Chicago Fire, Chicago Red Stars, that's my team. Not like that, not sound like that, but you know what I mean.
I think from our point of view, I don't know if Jake already said that, but I think we just got to keep on doing what we're doing in terms of trying to just set up events more in our communities, just doing small things. The burden should be and should always be on the club, but we'll do our part, you know, try to reach out to the communities, you know, just simple things like a watch party, a couple of watch parties, you know, a couple of events just to introduce the clubs to the community. Because I think in a lot of cases, people only recognize, like for the fire, they only recognize the old logo because it was mm-hmm. all over these, you know, you'll see the logo mm-hmm. in all these corner stores, liquor stores. Like, but if you were like, if you ask a fan or ask a person, do you know about the fire? They'd be like, what? Who?
Interesting. So the brand is known, but not the team.
Well, the old brand was known.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So.
Like people recognize it, but yeah.
So what should the marketing and branding approach be? Because my question would be from a Red Stars perspective, do they not play in Chicago proper? They play outside?
So Red Stars play in Bridgeview.
Okay.
Yeah, they play in Bridgeview.
So my question is, are they marketing to communities, all the communities of Chicago, or is it like a particular section? Is it, I didn't want to say this. Are they marketing it to the white
soccer
families?
Soccer moms.
Yeah, soccer moms, okay. Are they
So is Bridgeview a suburb? I'm just trying to.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how far out is that from like
Chicago? If you're driving from like Reggie's, where most of the fans meet up to go to the game,
okay,
it's like a 30-minute drive. Ooh. 40.
Yeah.
And there's their public drive. Is there kind of public transit or anything that gets you out there?
No,
you have to drive.
Why people rip the move out to Bridgeview so badly, because you can only drive out there.
It was
bad to the point where they would usually have to set up, like the Fire had a program that was pub to pitch. I think they still have it in a strange way, but yeah, they would take people from the city on these school buses or whatever type of bus they could get, and they would send them out to Bridgeview.
And Red Stars don't have money like that.
Yeah, but the Red Stars don't, unfortunately. Okay. Wow. And that leaves people in a awkward predicament.
Okay. So they gotta get their transportation right. Cause I was gonna be like, what could be done differently to market to the people in the city, particularly if you're playing out? This is sounding like the situation that I'm observing with Inter Miami, that they're trying to market to Miami, but they're playing in Fort Lauderdale. And if you live down there, there's no way. You can't ask me to leave Coral Gables to be going to Fort Miami Gardens in the middle of the week. Or even on the weekend, because that's an hour drive.
Okay. Yeah,
let that chopper sing.
Well, it is. I mean, it's really laying bare, like, even that's access, right? Like, people's ability to get out to support.
Right.
A team that's perpetually in the playoffs, by the way, right? Like, it's not like the Red Stars aren't a successful entity and haven't had names and haven't, you know, if you measure things by the national team, then, right, they've always had players on it. So, you know, part of it just seems to be teams don't have the money or aren't willing to spend the money. And if we're talking about a particular person, and then, you know, some of that disconnect, it's already hard to, you know, connect the dots for that culture. Where people love soccer, but not necessarily their local teams, and then you're making it hard to actually see the local teams. They're not
local. Also, what hurts, and this might let me know if this is off track, Fire fans are kind of hypocritical in this aspect of like,
oh, say that.
You'll see Fire fans be like, oh, I missed the lots of Bridgeview. Oh, Bridgeview is such a great stadium, but they never make it out to Red Stars games. Like, their involvement would make all of this a lot easier, I think, in terms of marketing, because Chicago is a really lame city in the sense that, like, attendance is a big reason for people to go. And, like, just drawing over who's involved with the Fire and to the Red Stars, like, that would make such a big difference. But they just don't really care. And, like, really the only people that are going to Fire and Red Stars games, they're like us and like maybe 10 other people. So like there's another group called Redline SG who are also like just as involved in both, but like that involvement is, that lack of involvement from fire fans kind of sucks.
I mean, it's the, like, one of the fun, the funniest thing people will say anytime the Red Stars, like, who cares about the Red Stars? Like, they're the only team that's been making the playoffs consistently. They're the only team that was closest to winning a championship before the Sky did. And so the idea that people were like, oh, we need a winning team to go to games. Okay, the Red Stars have been winning
right.
for years.
Right.
Go to a Red Star game. Oh, well, nobody cares about them. I'm like, okay, but that says something more about you personally than anything else, but we'll leave that alone. Until, like, in the next 10 minutes, we'll probably bring it back up again.
Yeah, like, I always have deep questions about how much people love soccer when you have the chance to have literally two soccer games a weekend and you're only choosing one. Like, that's not what someone who loves soccer would do. You'd want to see the sport no matter what it is, so.
And here's the worst part. There was a time when the Fire and Red Stars were at Bridgeview. They would have double headers, and it would usually be the Fire would play first and Red Stars would go on second, but you would tell that everyone was basically gone by the time the Red Stars players started to warm up. You had a bunch of people who were out and gone, so I'm like, you can't sit there and say there hasn't been an effort. Like, even for the Fire standard, you can't say that wasn't an effort to help promote the Red Stars.
Right.
Well, I would...
People just choose not to go, and that says something, that says something different.
Right, because I'm almost like, I wonder if doing it, having the Red Stars game first would help. I know when we did our doubleheader, we did Rain first, and then we did Sounders, and I guess we were lucky in that Sounders fans, for the most part, came early and stayed, but I don't know what that looks like this season. Now they'll share a stadium, and you, I think, touched on the other thing, and again, I think the Red Stars have had this element, but you know, the Sky obviously won this past year. Sky and I are both Candace Parker fans, so that's fine by us. So, like, is there room? And again, I know this is all dependent on Red Stars ownership perhaps changing hands. Or needing to change hands, I would say. But is there room for collab between, like, the Red Stars and the Sky, for instance?
Absolutely. I would say absolutely, yeah.
It needs to be done.
Yeah, because I think that would be a big turning point. Because that'd get people... I mean, you got a bunch of fans, you know, who love the Sky, who have loved them from a distance, have hopped on the choo-choo train, but who would be probably down and go to a Red Stars game. Because, like, the Red Stars are good.
Yeah.
So it's like...
And they've got hometown players too, right? Like, I think part of the appeal of the Sky in particular this year, right, is you had two starters who were hometown or close enough. I know Naperville isn't exactly Chicago, but...
Okay, we can get into that later.
But adjacent, right?
Chicago adjacent. Yeah, there we go.
But you know, same thing with the Red Stars. You've had, I mean, again, one is left, but you still have players on that team that are from the area.
Opportunity.
Yeah, that you have it, and there's a loyalty there, and so I think there's room to do that. But again, I think you have to have some stabilization.
Yes.
You know, at the top. All right. Do we want to?
So, I was going to say one more thing. So, for y'all perspective, what do you think, because I know y'all are doing events and stuff to grow membership and so forth, but, you know, if there's an ideal situation, what more could be done to help y'all grow and expand? And then are there things, like, from initiatives that you would want to do for community outreach to make sure it's all inclusive for all of Chicago? Interacting with the Red Stars, Chicago Fire, or just in soccer in general, just to get, even if we're talking about just getting Black fans, getting booties in the seats, get the bits. You know, is there something y'all would like to see? If you had an ideal situation, you had unlimited funds, is there something you would like to see to make that happen?
I would say buy-in from other SGs. Sometimes it's literally just us pulling the cart, and we need less. I'm going to choose violence on this. I'm just going to say it. So We made a banner two years ago that had Ida B. Wells and Fred Hampton on it. It was like, damn, like we had been talking about banner this whole time. And like, it's the middle of a pandemic. We had like 5 members at the time. We were not going to make this banner in any other way other than the FO helping us print this. And boy, some people got their shit in a skivvies, bro. Like,
Whiskey Bros.
You're working with the FO. You got it printed. Like, we're still dealing with that. And it's like, y'all weren't really concerned about our situation. You were more concerned about what the result was. And like, people have to understand, we don't have the same, we can't operate the same way that you can operate with all of these members with like years of experience and things like that. And even the years of experience part of like, you should have asked us, like, we don't feel comfortable asking you because you're doing this shit. So I'm going to shut up, but like, that would be my thing, is like supporters groups not being so gatekeepy.
Ooh.
And just realizing that like, ooh, Black fans don't have the same level of interaction or history that y'all have.
Like people don't realize we also have lives outside of soccer. Like, we love the game. We love supporting it, but we got lives outside that. So you gotta be understanding of that as well. Like, y'all can't expect a group that just started to be able to mass produce TIFOs on our own time. Like, and also, like, the fact of the matter is, if y'all cared so much, it shouldn't have taken until us doing it on our own for things to happen. Like, it's kind of amusing to see how people get feathers ruffled at us working and moving differently. Like, yeah, that's on y'all. That's not on us. We do what we have to do. And if y'all want to be down with it, then be down with it. But if y'all going to be shady and throwing shade, then get the fuck out of our way.
Right. Like, a lot of it is like us fighting upstream to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
When really, like, even if we had unlimited funds, like, if we're still fighting people to get things done, it's not going to matter. And it's not going to be as good as it could be. Like, it shouldn't just be like, oh, the Black group is sitting over there, go to the Black group. Like, that's not what it's about. It's about everyone having an atmosphere that helps Black people get involved in the game. And, oh, there's also a Black supporters group here too. I think people are like missing that. And it's so frustrating. Like, people's support is just like retweeting what happened at the event after it happened. Like, that's not what it is. So
I see what you're saying.
And by the way, like, we were able to be contacted outside of Black History Month.
Right.
Like, that's one thing I say to any groups who are coming up or who are just getting started or people who are thinking again, let people know we are more than just a 1 month out of the year supporter group or a 1 day in a month supporter group. We are a supporter group 24/7, 365. So get with it or get out.
Yeah, our DMs are open. So
they've been open. Like, very few people have reached out outside of Black History Month.
Oh. Let the chopper sing,
y'all. Okay.
Let the thing say. Let it be known. Okay. So this is why we have this conversation, because this is needed to be out there. Because it's funny, if people do the work, what you realize is if you're anti-racist, particularly dealing with the racism towards Black people, everybody ends up, all the isms destroy themselves and everybody eats, everybody floats.
Yep.
So it's wild that they are not seeing that and like isolating it. And damn.
But we say things like, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm just in a mood.
Go ahead.
That's what we're here. We are
but a platform. Go for it.
But it's like, come on now. Like, people don't get it. People don't get it. They don't want to get it. And it's just frustrating to this point. because, you know, Inner Miami just had their Black Supporters Group just get started, and they're going through, we're seeing them go through the same thing we had to go through, where you got these white, supporters, oh, you're being divisive. No, screw you. We're doing things on our own terms. We're not going to wait for you all to get to try to help us. We're going to do this on our own if we have to. And even in their wording, they made it clear that they were inclusive. And all of a sudden, you got people just being argumentative just to be argumentative. Like, bro, if you want to go troll, go somewhere else. You know, take that Reddit crap somewhere else.
Mm.
People think not being racist is enough, basically.
Mm.
Like, you doing the bare minimum.
Mm-hmm. And want a cookie.
Yeah, not being racist isn't an award, it's the baseline.
You should not be racist. Like, I don't understand why that's
it's very easy not to be racist.
Right. And yet,
you don't get no cookie smorgasbord for that.
Yeah.
And I think for white supporters groups, they have to get, that's the biggest thing they're gonna have to get past. Because while you'll have people who support, who will sit there and say you'll have people who come out and say, you know, yeah, we're supportive of, you know, Black people or minority groups. Okay, so how about you address some of the BS that's going on in your groups?
Well,
because it's amusing.
To quote old Black women, sweep your own front porch before you sweep other people. Sweep your own front
porch. Come on now.
Paraphrasing. And I'm not a 95-year-old Black woman, but yes,
you are.
And yeah, even with Black Herons, like, it hasn't been 2 weeks and they're already experiencing this stuff. And boy, that capitalizing that being Black sends people in all sorts of tizzies. So yeah, we got their backs, but it's the same thing y'all been through and the other Black supporter groups have been through. It's just try to do anything for yourself and people get in their
feelings. Sorry about that cough earlier, you know, just
you know, it's still topic. It's still cold season. It's all right.
It's still very bad cold.
Oh man. But all right. Not
yeah, but no.
Okay. Well, go ahead. All right. Well, I think that's a good place to take a bit of a break. Y'all dropped a lot of truth bombs. Go ahead and reload the chamber with the bullet so we can come back.
And we got to get this
unload the next round out here. But yeah, we'll take a quick break, you know, pay some bills, and we'll be right back.
All right.
This week on the Florida Crunch Soccer Podcast, Soccer Podcast for Us, by Us, talk about intersection of Black culture and soccer. Got a special episode for you guys this week. We are be joined by noted comedian Kev on stage. We'll be talking about his low-key soccer fandom, what got him into the game, and more in Two Up and Two Down. So join me and the rest of Cultureverse on your favorite podcast apps and the FTC UTD YouTube channel and at 2centsfc.com.
Shit.